Thank you, Adam. I hope you guys expect me to teach you something tonight, because that was my intention. But I wanted to start off and welcome all those that are live streaming as well. And I am grateful to be able to be here. Phew. You know, I wanted to start off with a testimony. And it's in regards to, actually, Adam talked about how he loves to look at mountains and to glass mountains up, looking through binoculars and to be able to hike and stuff like that. And I actually have been having a lot of opportunity to do that. And I've been getting up with the sun and headed out and doing a lot of hiking, preparing to do a rim-to-rim hike with one of my friends at work. And so I've been putting on a lot of miles on my feet and out in God's beauty. And one of the things that with expectations was yesterday I got up and I headed out. I got my pack all ready the night before. Everything was laid out, ready to go. And one of the things I had in mind is, boy, it's going to be hot out. I'm like done with the summer heat. It is like I'm over it. And regardless, you know, you still got to do what you got to do. And part of the preparation is being able to prepare yourself to endure this journey across the canyon. Rim to rim, it's about 24 miles. I forget what the ascent is. I know it's about a mile, so whatever that equates to, 5,280 feet, it's probably a little bit more as you go through the canyon, through the ravines and the canyons itself, within the canyon. And I set off in the morning, and I just, you know, I was expecting to get beat down by the heat. I was really like, okay, as soon as that sun comes up, I just, you know, we just need to move, need to get this done. I had the expectation to climb three mountains, and I knew it was going to be difficult, so I packed a ton of water, drank Gatorade, protein bars, an apple, liquid IVs. I had it all, sunblock, and I was like, because that sun's going to come up at about 9 o'clock and really put some hurt on me. And I'm just so thankful, and I was excited because when I got home, you know, as I was going through and doing this hike up in North Phoenix, the clouds in the morning were just enough to cover the sun. So there's a big difference when the sun's really coming down on you, hitting your skin, pulling the life right out of you as you're trudging through the desert, than when there's just a little bit of cloud cover. And I was like, okay, so it's about 8 o'clock, I'm headed towards my third mountain, and about that time it's heating up and the clouds are burning off. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. I'm looking at the biggest one, it's called Union Peak. I'm like, I gotta get to the top of that, and I'm not gonna turn back. I have plenty of water to go, but you know, as the sun comes out, I could just look at my arms and just see the shine of water coming out of me. And I was like, oh boy, this one's really gonna be rough. And I don't know where the cloud came from, but the Lord put one single cloud in front of that sun, and it shaded me for the long majority just before I got back to the car. And in Arizona, you don't get many clouds once that sun's pretty high up in the sky, and it really, it preserved me, and I was thankful for that. And it's exciting because my expectation was this was going to be brutal, and it actually turned out to be a lot nicer. The breeze was there, and that one single cloud that the good Lord put in place really preserved me to be able to not have to suffer as much as I could have in the morning yesterday. But you know, I wanted to thank the Lord for that, and I've been thinking about expectations, and I wanted to also, you know, share with you my little adventure today. And you know, I was expecting to go home to leave the service this morning, have a relaxed day to be able to focus and finish up my sermon. Just, I always go over it and over it and over it just to make sure that everything's good and I have a good idea of what I want to share with you. Everything's in place mentally and how I structure my wording here. And you know, that was my expectation. And it was kind of funny because I was talking to Brother Dan Hedrick here after the service, and you know, hey, how you been? How things going? Well, I've been working on cars a lot lately. And sure enough, as I'm standing here talking to Dan, Alicia texts me because she took the Suburban home and said, boy, that Suburban sure has a long crank on it. And I was like, yeah, I know. I put the jump pack in it yesterday morning because I had to move it to work on my mom's car, And I was like, the battery's gonna die in that thing. And sure enough, when I got home, I was like, I'll go ahead and turn it over a few times to see where it's at. And I was like, no, this thing's dead. So I pack up the battery when I get home, I have to put this aside, head up to Costco, and I'm like, oh, the worst thing is going to Costco on the weekend. I don't wanna deal with it. And I load the battery in the cart, and I just truck it to the tire section where you gotta turn in your battery, and there's nobody there. And I'm like, I walk in the door and I'm ecstatic, and the guy's probably looking at me like, what is this crazy guy? Like, he's all excited about something. Because my expectation was standing there in line for a half an hour, which I had to do earlier this week because the battery on the car died. And so it's been one thing after another and after another. And so I got the battery, I was got it home, got it put in. And as I'm putting the battery in the Suburban in the garage today, I'm sitting there and I'm listening. I was like, boy, that sure is an odd sound. And she's not doing the laundry because I hear like this water dripping. And I look over and I'm like, yep. And I look underneath my car that I just pulled in the garage, and there's coolant coming out of the bottom of it again. Because earlier, about 2 weeks ago, I replaced the cooling fan, and I was like, good night. I was like, man, this is just one thing after another. But I'm just really, I understand that that's life. And my expectations, this is like so suiting for the sermon tonight, that my expectations are not what they are, and can't, not all the time. They don't work out all the time as I desire and as I expect them to, but we all have them. It's okay. And, you know, I perceive other people in ways and have expectations of them. And this is something I shared at our sacrament service last week, and it's really been on my heart about, you know, not so much of what my expectations are for myself. I know I become very critical of myself at times, but to really just to be settled and to know and understand what the expectations of the Lord is for me in my life. And I hope that that's something that we all contemplate, you know, is how the Lord expects us to go through this life and the importance of involving Him in those things. And, you know, it's really neat that joy you get when you have the capability of not being overcritical on yourself and understanding that life is just going to pose its problems day in and day out. You know, it's almost like something new every day. But, you know, this idea of understanding that the Lord is there to help us be able to stay in a frame of mind that is pleasing to Him, and to share our experiences with others, because life is rough. Life is at times critical and difficult, and you struggle. But, you know, in every aspect of it, I believe wholeheartedly that the Lord loves His children and looks out for them and gives you the opportunity to see that and to appreciate that. And it's helped me be able to understand and have a new appreciation for what the Lord expects of me. And so with that, I just wanted to go in and, you know, I don't know how long this sermon's going to be, but I wanted just to give some of my thoughts and some of my feelings of where my mind's been at and why it's been there. But I think it's important that, you know, I went to Webster's 1828 dictionary and took this from there. This is a definition of expectation. It's the act of expecting or looking forward to a future event with at least some reason to believe that the event will happen. And the state of expecting, either with hope or fear, prospect of good to come, and a state or qualities in a person which excite expectations in others of some future excellence. And I really appreciate that last bullet point, because, you know, that's what God calls us to do, is to be a light for Him and to give other people hope. And speaking of hope, expectation is different than hope. And further down in the definition, I wanted to share, hope originates in the desire and may exist with little or no ground of belief that the desired event will arrive. Expectation is founded on some reasons which render the probability of the event. Hope is directed to some good. Expectation is directed to good or evil. And so, you know, there's a perspective that we have, and I've experienced that, you know, these expectations of knowing that God is in my life, that in all things that is intended for me to experience from God is going to help me be able to grow, is going to be able to empower me to a sense of betterment for myself, to help me understand who I am, who God wants me to be, and why he wants me to be that person. I don't know what it is in its entirety at this point, but it's a feeling of gratefulness that I have, knowing that the Lord has enough love in me to be able to use me for what his intentions are, and to be able to share experiences that are intended to lift others up. And, you know, I believe that all of our lives have intention, and we can have a perspective in our lives that, you know, could be good or bad, and that will help you be able to see, you know, what expectations you have in place for your future. You know, are they good or bad? And through prayer, we know that God can help us be able to see the good and to stay focused on that and to do those things that we need to do and to change those things that we need to change. And Adam used one of my scriptures this morning, and it's in Jeremiah 29:11, and it's from the Lord, and he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So I believe that the Lord already has this expectation of us having a desire to have that life of eternity with him, and to know that this expected end that he has for us is because of his love and because of his desire for his children to be happy, to have joy. And I've learned that through my experiences in life, again, that this joy and this true happiness comes from God. And in all those situations that we deal with, I always expect the unexpected. And it's interesting because, you know, when we succeed in life, when we are comfortable with our positions at work, I've been with the city 14 years here in November, and I'm very comfortable, and at times I get very complacent in my routine, and I don't think anything will ever happen, and I just think that's the way it is. It's almost like as if I'm programmed every day to do, to know, and to act in a way that will get me through the day, and I wish that that was true, because that's not the case. Everything changes in my life, and it could be in a matter of seconds, it could be in the matter of minutes. At the airport, we deal with things on the constant, and one of the things that I always keep in mind is when I go to work and I'm drinking my cup of coffee to get my mind right, to get ready for the day because it's very active, is always hope for the best but expect the worst, because there's things that happen, things that are going to unfold. And a lot of times, I personally, you know, I take pity on myself sometimes, you know. Why do these things happen? Why can't life just be normal? Why can't I just have a normal day? Why did it happen that way? Just like today, you know, why did this have to happen? I had my little heart set on sitting on the couch, relaxing, having a nice cup of ice water, and being able to go through my sermon. And even with the little cup of ice water, the ice machine on the refrigerator isn't working because the ice gets jammed up in it. And so I have to fix the ice machine to get to my ice for my ice water. And I kind of laugh at it because it's so true to the point that what is God trying to do at this point, you know? Is he trying to see how far I can bend before I break? And you know, I know that's not the case, but it's almost to the point to where it's amusing at times. But in all seriousness, I know that this is something that we struggle with. I used to struggle with stuff like this, and you know, life is unfair, it's so difficult, why do I got to go through this, why do I got to deal with that, you know, why me, woe is me. But you know, I think a lot of times that as we grow and we experience life, that we understand what false expectations are. And I think God really helps us to be able to see that and understand that it's not going to be the way that you plan, probably the majority of the time. And one of the things I think about is, you know, when all these things fall apart, whether it's within us emotionally, whether it's our car, whether it's our refrigerator, you know, there's always options that we have. There's choices that we get to make. And in those choices, I would pray that you sincerely reach out to the Lord. And, you know, when we sincerely reach out to the Lord, He embraces our words. He understands what's going on in here and in here. And just like Alicia, when I almost think that she could sense what's going on inside of me, because she knows. She's like, I know you're stressed out right now, but I'm just staying calm. Because I know that we'll get through this. And it's because of the Lord. He's taught me that, you know, sometimes things are hard to swallow. You know, sometimes it's hard to put in perspective that life is going to be all screwed up. But He helps me be able to understand that in a calm manner, that with His Spirit, with His guidance, that He's going to show me the way through it. And I find joy in that. I find comfort in that. And the Lord loves us, and He wants us to take the path in which He places before us. And there's a lot of easy way outs in life. There's a lot of things that we could just brush off. There's a lot of things we could just pass the buck. We can dictate for somebody else to do, but it takes a lot. It takes accountability as a Christian to do the right thing. And I think the Lord sees that and knows that in us, and He tries us in those things. And I appreciate that. And it helps me be able to see that that much more He cares about us as a father. And in Psalms 37, verses 4 through 6, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." So when we do those things, when we're struggling through things, trust in Him. And he's gonna make a light of it. He's gonna let you be that example for other peoples and be able to lift other people up. And it's gonna be something people are gonna see. It's gonna be obvious that, wow, this guy really, you know, I get it. If he was to flip out right now, I totally understand. But boy, look at the way he is handling this situation. You know, that's something that people notice. That's us as Christians. And that's something that is an attribute that is very peculiar in the world today. I see that. And it's a opportunity for us to be able to grow spiritually in the Lord. And in Moroni chapter 7, verse 18, it says, "Wherefore I beseech of you, brethren, that you should search diligently in the light of Christ, that you may know good from evil, and if you lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ." And so that obvious love that God has for us of where He wants us to be and how He wants us to do things is something that we need to put in practice in every situation. And, you know, I think a lot of times our conditions that are around us, our surroundings, that's something that shapes us and molds us. And that's where I think coming here and listening to the services, the sermons, and sharing our testimonies are so important, because our surroundings condition us. And part of that conditioning, you know, is important, because just like anything else, if I decided that This Friday, I'm going to depart and go hike the Grand Canyon. If I wasn't in the right condition to do that, that could be very tragic. That can lead to some serious harm to me physically, mentally. It could be a burden on somebody else and put them out. And it's important for us to understand that our surroundings condition us, that change happens. We should be anticipating change. This is important for us because God is trying to change us continuously to help perfect us in our lives. We should be aware of that and make sure that we're paying attention to it, that we're praising God through those situations of change, always for the better, not for the worse. We're still going to have those situations where we fall short, but the important things are finding the blessings in those changes, you know, when something happens. Find out what the blessings are. You know, I know that I'm going to take a hit in the pocketbook on a lot of these vehicle repairs, but one thing I murmured to my wife was that, well, at least we don't have a car payment. You know, it's something that the Lord gives us the ability to be able to understand and to see the blessings that are in it. You know, there's a work involved, though, and the change is for the better. You know, the responsibilities we have, the accountability that we have to take care for others. You know, sometimes we feel as if it's a burden, but, you know, find the blessings in it, and that'll help you change for the better. Be ready. You know, always be prepared to have something change in your life, and you can grow from that. You can grow in your relationship with God, have a deeper understanding of His love for you, and it's so reassuring to know that God is there for you, that He cares for us. And one of the things that I appreciate is that I feel no matter what happens, you know, I know that I am well taken care of by the Lord. I'm grateful for that. With no expectation that He is not going to be there for me. I have every expectation that no matter what the situation is, He's going to be there taking care of me. But we have to be prepared for things changing in our lives. One of the things, I don't know if I shared with you guys, it was a book I read a while ago, and I think I did. It was called Who Moved My Cheese by Dr. Spencer Johnson. And you know, that book had a lot of good perspective on what life has to offer. And in this book, just kind of a short understanding of it, there's some characters in this book. There's two mice and two little men, and they live in this maze, and the two mice are Sniff and Scurry, and the two little humans are called Hem and Haw. And you know, their names kind of speak for themselves. And you know, one of the things about this is that in this maze is they find this an abundance of cheese. And the Hem and Haw, they love cheese too, by the way. I love cheese personally. They get comfortable in their place, and they really relish the fact that they have this abundance of cheese. And one day the cheese isn't there. And you know, you can see by, I'll let you guys, it's a really easy read. Read the book. It's comical. It's got some good insight on life and kind of what happens in life. But as you can see by their names, you have Sniff and Scurry and Hem and Haw. You know, you could kind of understand which of the two groups of characters are going to really do the work to move on once the cheese is no longer there. And, you know, it's kind of like a life or death situation for them. But Hem and Haw, you know, they're going back and forth with each other because they're upset and angered because somebody moved their cheese. And, you know, that's just what happens in life. And, you know, we get to a point to where we've got to understand that the routines in which we live in aren't always going to be the same. There's going to be something changing. And Sniff and Scurry, you know, they're ready for it. They're always getting out there and exploring new places, understanding that what they have at the moment might not always be there. And so they have that different mindset of, hey, I need to get somewhere to find what's coming next to be able to help us survive. And I think of that in our mindsets as Christians, you know. On any given night, I could probably tell you who's going to sit where in the chapel. And this is just human nature. This is our mindset. And one of the things is that, you know, being called to the ministry, boy, my mind just blew up that day. And that was completely a different change. And I thank the Lord for that, because what a change it has been. It's something that helped me be able to understand that all the messed up and screwed up things that I did in life, that God still loves me. And no matter what, He will always loves me. And so that helps me be able to change my mindset, my expectations on life. It helps me be able to prepare for new challenges, new experiences, new trials, a different way of going about doing things. More humility. More humility is really the main thing, and knowing that the work is never done. The work is never done in the Lord. And I can't be content with just having the routines that I have. I have to always strive to better myself, to better myself, not in a way that puts me above other people, but better myself in a way with my relationship with God, and understanding that life is going to change because of age, and not just age. I say age because, boy, I feel life is changing because of age. You know, when I look in the mirror now, and when I talk to some of the individuals in my surroundings, it's like, wow, you know, things have changed. And I know that all of us have that opportunity to be able to share with others that are just starting to get out there, that there's a lot that can happen, but God provides so much to help us be able to get through it. And so we can't be closed-minded. We can't be closed-minded, shutting out the Lord and being content with where we're at the moment. And so Christ's expectations, this led me to the parable of the fig tree, and I wanted to share this with you because there's two different parables of the fig tree, and I was looking into this and I was like, oh wow, this is really interesting. And I'm going to read this one first. It's about Christ's expectation, Mark chapter 11 verses 12 through 14, and then we're going to jump down 20 through 22 after he turns over the tables. And it starts at and on the morrow when they come from Bethany, he was hungry. So this is Jesus. He's getting up. He's going into Jerusalem, and he's hungry. And he sees a fig tree afar off having leaves. He came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And I really like the fact that, you know, they point out that he was hungry. You know, he got up and he had to go do his work. And, you know, he sees this fig tree. And I don't know if everybody's had a fig, but boy, they're good. That's just like eating sugar. And, you know, you see something off in the distance and you see this tree. It's full of leaves. It's a fig tree. And boy, I'm gonna pluck some of those puppies and, you know, get some of that sugar in me, wake me up, and get me going for the day. And, you know, this is just part of our nature. We have this desire when we see something, hey, I want to get something from that. And he was hoping that he'd be able to find some fruit on it, but he didn't. And even if it was a healthy tree, it wasn't providing the fruit. And one of the things, well, let's just go ahead here, and we're going to read 20 through 22, because the next day, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter calling to remember saith unto him, Hey, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. And one of those things in the representation of the fig tree, I was reading in Matthew Henry that it's a representation of the church and the church leadership that was going on. And the tree itself was sucking the life out of the earth, and the chief priests were sucking the life out of the people that were around them. And the leaves, that's a representation of the chiefs and their the chief priests, their garments, and the blossoms, and that serves no purpose. What we wear, how we adorn ourselves, that serves no purpose whatsoever. It's the fruit that we produce that serves the purpose to God. And it's nice to be able to present ourselves in a way, but we have to be able to provide the fruit. And a lot of people, unfortunately, with the gospel of Christ, use that to their advantage. They take advantage of it, but it's our responsibility to honor God by providing fruit and to be able to bless others with that which we can give. But that really was something that disappointed the Lord, and so he cursed the tree. And it was a representation of the church at that time, and we know that the church was destroyed. And it's because the church was not bearing that fruit. And in 3 Nephi chapter 6, 27 through 32, I think this really reinforces where Christ was and what the disciples were learning from Christ. It says in 27 through 32 of chapter 6 of 3 Nephi, Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. And so I think of this, and this is a tree that's just by the wayside, and it's not planted in the Lord's vineyard. And we'll talk about that in the next parable. But as I was thinking about this, living in Phoenix, when it wasn't such a robust city, we used to have a lot of decorative orange trees along the roadways and in the center of the roadways. And it used to produce fruit, really good fruit. And these were just trees by the wayside. And there was one thing about those trees is that the fruit that was on the trees was really, the oranges were bitter. And you couldn't eat that fruit. But boy, the trees were healthy. They looked great. They were there. They looked like they were ripe for the picking. But the fruit was bitter. And such is the case, in our lives. Are we providing fruit that is good, that is pleasing unto the Lord? And so I believe wholeheartedly that when we have our foundation, when we're planted in the vineyard, the vineyard is the representation of the Lord's church. This here is another parable related to the fig tree. In Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, says, He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Okay, so now we have another problem with the fruit that's in the vineyard. One that's being taken care of. One that's there being watched over, nourished. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I should dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if it not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And so this tree obviously had an advantage. This tree was planted in the vineyard, and this is God's vineyard. And being planted in God's vineyard. It's kind of like us being baptized in the church. We have a place, we have a name in the book of life, but we have, the Lord has expectations for us. And just like the owner had the expectation from the gentleman that was caring for the trees in his vineyard, you know, he expected something to become of that. And such is Christ with the Jews, with the Pharisees, you know. That was his church, and he had an expectation of them, and they weren't producing. They were actually taking life out of the church and using it to their own advantage. And so this is a good representation of our Christian life, who we are, the Lord has a desire and for us to be able to grow, to bear fruit, fruit that is good, that will strengthen others, that has meaning, that has value, that proves and gives evidence to God's love in our life. Things that not only we can enjoy, but other people can enjoy too. And through our words and actions that we share with others, and how the Lord expects us to do that, what a wonderful thing that we can do. What a wonderful thing that we can know that our roots are firmly planted in the Lord's vineyard, that it gives us everything that we need, that it provides us with nutrition, with everything that'll help us be able to sustain in the day, to be able to help others receive nutrients from the goodness that we give. The Lord wants us to be able to provide and to produce. There's no reason for us to not take value in that, and to be able to share those things of value with others. And so I wanted to read this in Ephesians because I think it's strengthening for us that, you know, talking about being rooted in God and grounded in love. It says, and Adam spoke on love today. It kind of ties this with his sermon, that in Ephesians chapter 3, 15 through 21, it says, of the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. And so some of these things, I was going to underline it, where it says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And I was looking into this. The breadth of his love is how we understand the extent of it. That takes time, I believe, to be able to understand the extent of God's love. We have to go through things. We have to see our expectations, our personal expectations, fall short. And then we rely on God, and we really see, by the breadth of it, the extent of his love. And the length of it is the continuance from everlasting to everlasting. And this is a love like none other. You know, Adam was talking about loving his chickens and loving his wife and all these things that he loves. But this, the length of it, is continuance from everlasting to everlasting. There is no end to it. There's not even a beginning to it. It's more than anything. We can't comprehend that kind of love. And the depth of it, you know, no matter where you're at, no matter how dark of a place you are, no matter how far you sunk into the depths of sin and misery, that God is there. His love is there to pull you out of it, to help you be able to get back up out of the water so you can take a breath, to bring you to a safe place, back to shore, back to a place where you can be loved. That's what God wants us to be able to help other people see, is the depth of his love. And then by his height, Christ's love raises us up to a heavenly and happiness and glory. So that's something that, you know, is hard to fathom at times. And you know, happiness is something that I know and I've learned that true happiness is only what God can give. And that's through his love. And it lifts us up. And we should be lifting others up and sharing that with them. And we have to continue to learn about that. We have to continue to experience. But if we are complacent, and if we're routine and mundane, doing the same thing over and over, we're not going to have that ability to be able to grow and to bear fruit for the Lord. And, you know, our endeavors and what those things that we do, and all of our endeavors, there's always a treasure to be found, whatever it is. And it says there, you know, according to the riches of his glory, you know, there's always a treasure to be found when we have God in our lives. He helps us be able to see that. There's a lot of times that I know to this day, a lot of us, when we see a rainbow, one of the first things we think about is, boy, there's probably a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. It's something that is part of who we are and what we grew up with. But, you know, it's something that God promises us is treasures, riches from the experiences that we have in life. And that's the realness to it, that there's nothing artificial in the Lord's promises. We have expectations within ourselves to follow after him and what it's going to provide. Have high hopes and high expectations of reflecting on who you are and where you're at and what you're doing and what the Lord wants you to do. And I guarantee you that he will far surpass all of your personal expectations for yourself. It's kind of crazy to understand that, but you know, it's one of those things that as time goes by and you look back, what a greatness our God is capable of giving to us. Great things in our lives he gives us, and he far exceeds all the expectations I put in place for myself as a person. And if I was back in my 20s and I was to lay out all my expectations on a piece of paper, it wouldn't amount to much, I'll tell you that much. Boy, it would be pretty sad. But putting my faith and my trust in God and seeing what he has done has far exceeded all of my expectations of who I am and where I've been and who I am today. So think about those things. And I want to read, I just have Romans 12:2 up here, but I'm going to read the first verse because it's important. It leads right into this. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that has a lot of meaning in it when, you know, the Lord's not asking much, and he gives so much. And it's very reasonable of what he asks from us. It's very reasonable. And it's important that we don't let our surroundings change the expectations that we have for ourselves, unless they're good, unless they're from the Lord. Because in Romans 12:2, and I believe the world does have a lot of pressure on people about who they are, truly who you are. They're trying to change that. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I think about that a lot, especially here lately with walking a lot of miles out in the desert. You have time to visit with the Lord. And I am so thankful for that, because you have yourself and the Lord. And really, there's not too many influences out there that are influencing you, and your surroundings are what's given by the Lord, which are beautiful, by the way, which is beautiful mornings lately, and I'm thankful for that, because there's more to it than, you know, just going out and knocking out some miles on the feet just to condition myself. There's more to it than that, and I'm thankful that it gives me time to be able to visit with my Lord, to thank Him, to contemplate, to hear podcasts that uplift me of people that have been affected in their lives by the Lord and influencing me to have a different perspective on who I am, how I can be better for the Lord, because that's all the Lord wants, is us, for us to have that wonderful relationship with Him, and we have to be willing to change to be able to do that continuously, every day. And so don't close up, don't shut yourself out from the Lord, you know, let Him work on your life and work yourself on your life. And what God intends for us to experience, find the joy and the blessings in that. And in the end, you know, there's all kinds of things that we learn and grow from. One of the things that I really have truly grasped is self-discipline in how I carry myself, and taking accountability, sharing that with others, and making that something that helps me be able to see the path in which I go that much more better. That makes it that much more obvious of seeing, you know, where the Lord wants me to go. And I don't know how many of you have the opportunity to take a nice morning walk, but I think it's good for all of us to, if you can't take a walk, just take the time. Take the time to visit with the Lord. Like Adam was saying, 90 minutes a week is what is the minimum requirement to have an effective relationship. But I find that 90 minutes a week sometimes is turning into 90 minutes a day at times. And hopefully more and more and more as I see how much the Lord gives. And so that's what I have for you tonight. May God bless each and every one of you and your endeavors. Always remember to keep your heart open, and the Lord expects things of us, and He'll show you what you can do and meet and beat your expectations of yourself. So thank you, and God bless each and every one of you.